Very good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sorry for the delay. Yani, an old age with the high tech is something odd. Acknowledgement. Thank you for your patience. Yani, our topic of tonight is something I don't know if you have heard about it or not. The subject is about strive and grace. What's the meaning of strive? What is the meaning of strive? The word strive. Language, not religious. Yeah. Yeah, to make an effort, to struggle, strive to struggle, to make an effort for no return, something like that. If I apply it on the spiritual issue, I may say struggling is every effort I try to have a good relationship with God from my side. And then the grace. The grace is a free gift given to me for free, regardless who I am. It's a grace available for everyone. And the grace, the source of the grace is God. And nowadays, the source of the grace in our life is the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, is the source of the grace to us. However, we can say that there is a grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. We will now try to find out what the meanings in details of the grace and the meaning of the strive and the relationship between strive and grace for our benefits. But before I start, I want to ask myself, how can I be saved? By the strive only? Or by the grace only? This is the question that we want to answer on it tonight. Am I saved from my side with the strife when I pray, when I fast, when I serve, when I give alms, when I'm good to everyone, or only by the grace of God will give me through the blood of Jesus Christ the salvation, and then automatically I'm saved and I can enter the kingdom of heaven. So, the question before I come to the next point, how can I be saved? Remember that. Is it only by the strife, or it is only by the grace? What is the meaning of grace? As I said, the grace is free gifts from God. This is the grace. Like what? Some examples. Number one, creation. Creation is a grace. No one created himself. No one has any role in his creation or even the creation around me. And by the grace of God, he created heaven and earth in 6 days. And at the end of the 6 days, he created man and made a woman from him and joined them together in the bond of marriage and said to them, here is the creation. I created this creation just for you. Be master on this creation. Number two, I was created at the image of God. He created me in his image and likeness. as we read in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Number three, when Adam disobeyed the Lord, lost his authority and lost his masterhood on the creation, and also lost his good relationship with God, then the Lord kept him aside or out of the Garden of Eden until he saved us through the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was incarnate and when he was crucified and when he was buried and then resurrected and then ascended into heavens, forming or performing for us the story of salvation. According to the salvation, now we can be, our sins can be forgiven. So the forgiveness of sins is also a gift from God. That's why we say that the forgiveness of sin is a grace. No one pay any cent when he goes to his confession father, confessing, having the absolution. He doesn't pay anything to the priest for this absolution that he gets at the end of the confession, preparing for the Holy Communion. Also, one of the grace sources or the grace items is the eternal life. The Lord prepared for us the heavenly Jerusalem, the kingdom of heaven, the everlasting life, the eternal life. This is a gift. That's why we call it the grace of God. Now, question number two. Is the grace by itself enough for me to be saved or not? St. John Chrysostom declares clearly, saying grace cannot be anything alone. In another word, the grace is available for the whole world. But does the whole world benefit from the grace of God, the salvation, the work of the grace? No, not everyone, as we'll see now. Put on hold the item of the grace and let us go to the strive. What's the meaning of strive? To make an effort. And also to let the Spirit work in me. I have the Spirit. I received the gift of God through the baptism and the my room, confirmation. Then I was confirmed, or the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in my heart, making from this heart an altar. As St. Paul says, did you know that you are the temple of the Lord and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? However, it's not enough. Up till now, it's not enough. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit, but still, I don't benefit from the Holy Spirit. I need to let the Holy Spirit work in me. Then when I work, I will work not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, to get benefit of the grace of God, which is given to me for free, I have to accept it. I have to deal with it. I have to let it work in me. And this is what we call strife. Number two, to continue my relationship with God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit works in me like a weapon, like if you can imagine, مثلاً, we have a soldier now from any army, and this soldier is armed with every different weapon. When the enemy comes to him, what does he need? To use the weapons that he carries. If he doesn't use the weapons, what is the use of the of what he carries? Nothing. The grace in the same meaning. And not only to use it once, but to continue every single day to let the Holy Spirit work in me. And number three, not only to let the work, the Holy Spirit work in me from above, but deepen my relationship with the Holy Spirit, deepen my relationship with God. Some people feel that it's enough. It's good that we go to the church. We attend the liturgy. From time to time, we see or visit what they call it in England, visit the confession sacrament. I don't know if you use that for a visit. The confession sacrament means go to the confession father and after repentance, of course. And then that's it. At the end of the liturgy, sometimes we receive the Holy Communion, sometimes we don't receive that. But deepen means put the Holy Spirit in the depth of my heart. Let the Holy Spirit work in me deeply. Let the voice of the Holy Spirit be louder than any or clearer than any other voice in the whole world. This is what we call to deepen my relationship with God. And then that leads me, number one, to let it work. Number two, continue this work. Number three, deepen this work. And number four is to abide in God and let him abide in me. Do you remember this word, abide? When did the Lord mention it? Huh? He said the same. Who abides in me and I in him? Dotted, get it. Who or whoever? Not dot. Abides in me and I in him. Huh? Whoever? You don't remember. It's written in John chapter 6. Whoever eats my body, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will abide in me and I in him. Then it's not only to let it work, it's not only to deepen, but also to abide in him. Abide here yani means be very fixed, very attached, be one with him. That's why in John 15:5 he said, for without me you can do nothing. And we say to him, but with you we can do everything. Without you we can do nothing. Yes. But your work without involving us and responding to your work in our life, we cannot benefit from our salvation, or from the salvation that you performed for us. Then we need the answer. We need both grace and strive together. There is an example. When Moses became very old, not able to fight, Joshua, his disciple, was at the head of the army. While he was fighting, then Moses was praying, opening his arms in the shape of the cross. Whenever he released his hands, the Israelites were defeated. And whenever he raised his hands, keeping praying in the shape of the cross, Joshua was defeating the enemies. Then the war extended all the day. And then Joshua asked the Lord to extend the sun. And the sun remained up 48 hours. It happened once in the history of the creation. But from the side of Moses, when he became very tired because he was an old man, the children of Pharaoh, the children of Aaron, his brother, who was the chief priest, held the hands of Moses to help him from both sides until Joshua defeated completely the army. In this example, we can understand what is the working of grace together with the working of strife. The grace is important to me, but without my strife, when I make an effort, it's nothing. In another word, the Holy Spirit cannot work without you. Without your allowance, the Holy Spirit in your heart, although it's in your heart, although you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, like this altar now, suppose, God forbid, that they prevent us, as they happened from time to time. It happens in Egypt or any other countries. They prevent the people from celebrating the liturgy, from offering the oblations. Then what's the use of the altar? It's closed, the same. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. If you don't use that, it will become like this closed altar. Yes, the name is altar, but the fact, it's not working. The name is you are the altar, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the fact, if you don't use that, then the Holy Spirit will not impose himself on you. In Hebrews, St. Paul says what you see now. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And then he, after two verses, in verse 4, you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Martyrdom is very important, but striving or resisting to bloodshed means to resist the sin from every effort you can, not depending on your power or your wisdom or your ability, but depending again on the grace of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we hear often in the liturgy. It's taken from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace means the gifts which our Lord Jesus Christ gives us for free. And the love of God. اللي بيقول إيه؟ And so God loves the world until he gave his beloved son for the sake of our salvation. هكذا أحب الله العالم حتى بدل sacrificed his beloved son بدل ابنه الوحيد لكي لا يهلك so as not to perish everyone who believes in him كل من يؤمن به. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What is the meaning of communion here? Fellowship. Communion means fellowship. ليه بنسميها the Holy Communion? Why do we call the oblations the Holy Communion? عشان بنسميها we call it the Holy Communion. Did you ask yourself why? Why the Holy Communion? No answer? Huh? Yeah, in Jesus Christ. The communion happened, the Holy Communion happened in Jesus Christ. Divinity and humanity. He was incarnate to put the spirit with the body in one nature. In one nature. The incarnate God. The incarnate God. The divinity and the humanity. This is the communion. That's why we call it the Holy Communion. And when you go to the receive, you receive the Holy Body. Holy Body means humanity, huh? With the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we do believe what we receive is the incarnate God, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we must have eaten just a normal bread. And this normal bread reminds us with the Holy Communion. No. Holy Communion means that there is a divinity and the humanity, and there is a part in the liturgy in which the priest asks the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in the bread to make it body, and to dwell in the wine to make it the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This communion through the Holy Spirit happens in your heart. Happens in your soul, happens in your body. That's why you do eat the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Question: does the work of grace affect the freedom? If I say now, the grace of the Lord dwells in me, I have no freedom, I have no choice. So long I am now the temple of the Holy Spirit, I have no choice to do anything else. No. The grace, as I said, is like a weapon in your hands. When you have will to use it, when you want to use it, you can. And when you ignore this power, you lose its blessing. You use its blessing. Another question. When does this strive end? Is there any end يعني I give you an example. Some of you finished their bachelor. Some masters, some PhD. You can say, I finished my study. And now I am in the cycle of working. Does it happen with me in the spiritual life? Do I reach a level and say, okay, I reached the perfect level or the highest level of strive? Halas. Now the Holy Spirit works in me forever. I don't need to strive. Do we have that? No, we don't have that. That's why St. Paul said to his disciple, and to Corinthians, and to Galatians, and to Philippians, the same, almost the same verse that you read now. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid upon for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Look, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So the strife does not end. Does not end. There is an interesting story about St. Macarius. St. Macarius, one of the famous fathers of monks. It is said, St. Macarius was striving all his life to continue and deepen and to abide, as I said, with the grace of God, with the work of the Holy Spirit. And then, at the end of his life, he was leaving this world. He was dying. And then Satan said to him, blessed are you, Makar. You have defeated. You have won. And he said, no, not yet. Not yet. And then his spirit came out of his body. And Satan was following him, said, now you are winning the kingdom of heaven. Saint Macarius said, no, not yet. He was following him every time. Abu Mahar was saying, not yet, not yet, until he reached the bosom of our Lord in heavens. And then he said, now I can say with the grace of God, I have reached the kingdom of heaven. I have reached the eternal life. So it means that we strive all our life. That's why one of our diseases is the lukewarmness. Lukewarmness is neither hot nor cold. Sometimes we don't have much desire to pray. Or we don't want to fast from the beginning. And we don't want seriously to fight against some weaknesses. And everyone knows his weaknesses very well, more than anyone else. Everyone knows his weaknesses, but not honest to strive, to struggle, to get rid of these weaknesses. What happens? The Holy Spirit tries to urge me, to remind me. If I close my ears and close my heart, and close my mind before the house, the voice of the Holy Spirit, then I close to myself the way of salvation. I stop my strife. We should not stop our strife any moment. Abide in God and God abide in me means I have to be aware every time that there is no guarantee for anyone unless he mixes or abides his strife with the grace of God, side by side, together. Conclusion here in this topic, what is the meaning of spiritual life? If you have your Bible, please, and I know that everyone has his Bible, open Ephesians 6, 10 to 9. The epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. It will explain to us the meaning of what we said today. From verse 10 to 19. Can anyone with a loud voice read, please? Who reads? عايز حد صوته قوي كده. Can anyone read? ها. بس وقف كده عشان يسمعوك. Okay. Number 11 again. So look how does St. Paul describe the meaning of the grace and the relationship with the strife from my side. The grace from God's side and the strife from my side. Huh. Put on the whole armor of God. So the armor is from God. The weapon is from God. Not from you. Not from your own strength. Not from your own wisdom. Not from all own ability. It's from God. That's why he called it armor of God. Armor of God. Go ahead. Thank you. You know what happened? When did St. Paul say that? You know? He was in a place and he saw a soldier, as I said to you, soldier covered with the armors. And then he switched every part of the armors that this soldier was putting on into spiritual meaning. Even the helmet, even the weapons, even the sword, even the shoes, everything. What does it mean? It means that we need to transfer everything we look or we see or we watch or around us into spiritual meaning. Spiritual meaning. Now to conclude what I said, what do we need? What do we need? To strive. We need to keep our relationship with God. How can I keep my relationship with God? How can I keep my relationship with Daniel? On the phone? Text messages? Visits? Entertaining together? If any of these is broken, I cannot betray myself and say I have a good relationship with Daniel. It is the same. This is what we call prayer, or life of prayer. And this is the importance of prayer. When I pray, and I pray not out of a must, unless I will not succeed, unless the Lord will be angry at me, or when I pray because I want to avoid the enraging of God, or he ignores me, or he may hate me. No. I pray to God because I do love God. As he loves me freely, I exchange this love with love from my side. It's not logic that someone calls you every day, saying, pray, lest you be fallen into temptation, and I ignore him, and close my ears. Is it logic? We do that with God. Sometimes, or many times, or every time. I don't know how often do we pray. But the meaning of the prayer here, is I pray out of love, not out of must. Out of must means I'm a slave. Out of love means I am a son or a daughter. And great difference between being a slave and being a son or daughter to God. A slave, servant, hire him, give him wages, and say, okay. But son lives forever in the house of his father. A daughter lives all her life in the house of her father, and so on. So the first item to keep in relationship in continuous and deep and abiding in him is the prayer. And please, when you pray, pray out of love, not out of fearness or out of just duty. You have to do that because you are a Christian. And when we go to Abuna, you'll say, okay, I pray and day and night. I pray Abana Lazi, our Father, and pray also our Father before I go to bed. Yes. I cannot forget to pray our Father who art in heaven. Okay. Suppose you are sitting at the table at dinner. Bite one piece of bread and say, okay, I'm full. Can you say that? No. Why do we do that with the spirit? Why do we are very careful with our bodies to feed the body, and to spoil the body, and to give the body whatever he wants. And for the spirit, we don't give the food of the spirit enough to be saturated and filled. Prayer. When you pray, remember that. We pray to exchange the love of God, then the prayer will be out of love. When I fast, my fasting, the concept that I said, will not be a diet, will not be changing the non-fasting food with the fasting food, saying, okay, what the difference with God if I eat yogurt or have McDonald's or eat falafel or fool? It doesn't hurt him. In this meaning, yes. But if you have the concept that the fasting is a very good way to control my senses, to control my desires, to control my body, to cast out the evil demons, because the Lord said that the devil cannot be cast out except by prayer and fasting. If I fast, I fast out of that. Not because the church said, okay, we are coming next week to St. Mary fast. It's 2 weeks, and I know most of you, Yanni, keep fast of it. But when we come to the 43, 55, Wednesday and Friday, then comes the question of what I have said. What did they use for God? I don't fast for God. I fast for myself. I need that. God will not benefit from my fasting. God will not increase or decrease when I fast or don't fast. I do that because the Lord explained to me, advised me to fast. And before he gave me this advice, he himself fasted 40 days and 40 nights. That first action the Lord did, after the baptism, at the hands of John the Baptist, it is said in St. Luke 4, and then the Spirit led him up the mount to be tempted from the devil, from Iblis. Fasting. What also? Giving alms. When I give alms, when I have charity, some money to give the needy, the poor, the church, anything, you give it to God. You don't give it to the poor. You don't give it to the needy. You do not give it to the church. If you read Matthew 25, you will find him saying, "Come to me, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heavens." They will say, How God? He will say to them, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me what to drink. I was naked and you covered me. I was sick and you visited me. I was strange and you hosted me. I was in that prison and you came to me." And then the people will say, "We didn't see you at all." The reply of God will be, "Whatever you did with one of my little brothers, you did to me." So when you give, don't feel that you will give to the poor and the needy. When we were in London, my wife was suffering of heart disease. And then one of the metropolitans, I can mention his name, he is Amba Athanasius, the metropolitan of Beni Suif. I mentioned his name because he departed into heavens. And she was waiting for a cardiac operation by Dr. Madiaub, Professor Magdiaub. And during this time, she was almost lying in bed. And then Amba Athanasius visited us. And when I asked him to come and anoint Mary and pray for her, he entered the room and he sat at the ground. I said, "Sayyidina, there is a chair here." He said, no, I am not visiting Mary. I am visiting the Lord." He was speaking in this way. "I am visiting the Lord. I have to sit at his feet to take his blessing. I'm not visiting Mary." Do you have that same impression when you visit any patient in the hospital or any one of your brothers and or sisters or friends when he is sick? Do you have the same feeling when you give a needy some money? You give the Lord. You give the law. Because the Bible says, whoever gives, شوف بقى, شوف الآية, very strong verse, whoever gives the needy, he lends the Lord, يقرض الرب, بيسلفه. He lends the Lord. As if the Lord borrows from you through the needy, through the poor. I want to switch the meanings of our spiritual practicing from just a duty or just a must to another concept as of tonight, on the light of what we said about the strife and grace. His children needing. Also, the last point, serving in the church. When you serve in the church, for me it is a must. Why? Because I have to do that. It's not logic that when I was a child, I have learned in the Sunday school, I have learned in my parents' house, I have learned from the church, and I have learned from the school when they were giving to me religion lessons, everything about faith. When I grow, I have duty towards the coming generation, to whatever received, faithfully I give to the next generation. This is the concept of service, not a dignity, not a something you are proud of, that you are servant in Sunday school or servant in the grades or servant in the even in the kitchen, any sort of service. I do it because I pay some of my debts, because I am grateful to those who taught me in my childhood, and I have to give them back whatever I learned and received in my childhood. Please don't forget that. Pray, fast, give, serve, but for the sake of God, through his children, then be sure that in heavens you will be rewarded from his pure mouth, purest mouth, holy mouth, that you are worthy to inherit the kingdom of heavens. But finally, I say, it's not only the kingdom of heavens that you will be worthy for, but also the peaceful life and the good, successful life and the pure life on earth, which will be given to you not as a salary of what you do as a strive, but as a normal result. Normal result. The more you speak to God, the more your language will be as God's. The more you fast according to what the Lord said, the more you will benefit from the fasting, conquering devil as the Lord conquered devil, and so on. Every spiritual practicing, every fruit of the Holy Spirit we gain, it will be from these two sides. Grace of God from out above, and acceptance from me from down to above. And we work together for the sake of our salvation, which was given and still giving and will be given to us for free. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Any question? You don't have questions? I am Agit. Thank you so much. Sorry, how?
How would I switch it to be out of love and out of commitment?
Reach that when I understand, why do I pray? Why do I fast? Just because the church teaches me to do that? It's exactly like when you are in the school and the teacher asks you to do your homework in a good way, if you do it as a duty, as a must, as a commitment, you will lose the interest of study. You will lose the taste of being a good scientist one day, or a successful engineer or physician or pharmacist. If you do it as a must, as a commitment, I have to do that. No, you don't have to do that. If you don't want to be engineer, don't study engineering. Full stop. If you are convinced that these commandments are for me to help, not on me to do, then in this way, you will start your prayer without any desire, real desire to finish. One day, do you have 2 minutes to tell you an interesting story happened? There was a saint in the monk, saint monk in the cell, and he used to make baskets, spetadis baskets, handmade. And there was a man who used to come and to have these baskets and to go to the city and sell them and bring some food to the monk and put alms to the needy according to the will of this monk. And this monk reaches a very high level of prayers. He used to pray all time. One day, this man knocked at the cell. Cell is the room. Cell is the room of the monk. It's called cell, not room. Cell. He knocked on the cell. The monk opened. Oh, what do you want? He said, please, Abuna, give me the cells that you made to sell them for you. He said, okay. He closed the door until he entered the inner part of his cell. He forgot because he was praying. Then the man knocked again. And then Abuna opened it. He said, please, Abuna, give me the baskets. And he said, okay. And he opened 3-4 times. And at the end, he said, the third time he said, okay, the baskets for the man, until he entered the inner, he said, Kirillaison, Omar Lord Jesus Christ, help me, Omar Lord Jesus. He used to pray all the time because he didn't feel that he must do that. And then at the end, he gave up and he knocked at the door and said, unless you give me the basket, I will leave now. And he said, what do you want? He said, I want the cells, Abuna. He said, okay. He opened the cell, the door of the cell, and said, go in and take whatever you want, and don't delay me. It's just an example. This story is written in the book of the story of monks, Bustan al-Ruhban. It's not some fantasy, I say. The name of the monk is known. So it's a true story, not a symbolic story. At the end, he said, okay, don't disturb me. Go and take whatever you want. He doesn't want to change his mind from speaking to God. In this way, try to pray from your heart, not as a must. And be sure that the 5 minutes between the two courses, when you spend them speaking to God, will bless all the day, will purify your mind, will purify your heart. Because the more you speak to God, the more your accent and language become like God's. Exactly. It needs some training. What I say doesn't come all of a sudden, but it needs some training. It needs how to know to take one of the psalms of Prophet David and try to meditate on it, apply it on your life, and take one chapter at the beginning of the day from this chapter, choose one verse and consider it the verse of the day. Try to memorize it, to repeat it all the day. God is love, God is love, God is one verse. God is love. And repeat this verse all the day. At the end of the day, you will find yourself not only memorized it, but lived it. The good thing is not only to read the Bible, but to live the Bible. To live the Bible. To make the verses in the book of life, the Bible, the good tidings, the good news, a practical life, a system of life for everyone. Thank you so much. I think it's now 10:10. Thank you. Any question? Any other question? That's it? Thank you so much. Let us pray.